On today's episode, we'll review some early spring training news and how to use spring training to evaluate players. I'll go over my do and do not draft list. Plus, we continue reviewing some important sabermetric stats. That's today on Fastball Fantasy Baseball.
I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it.
Baseball is back. We've reached spring training games where everything's made up and the stats don't matter, sort of. Right now, it's too early to start really evaluating players, especially pitchers, because they just aren't playing enough innings yet. But you can still be researching, paying attention to trends. You know, is that player who looked awful last season doing better now? Is a pitcher's velocity way down? These are a few, you know, examples of things you can look for to help reinforce some decisions you're making as you scout players for the upcoming season for your drafts. So let's talk about some of the things that we've seen so far. Jack Flaherty had a rough first outing. You know, granted, it was his first outing, but it reinforced some issues that popped up with him in 2020. He allowed 4 hits and 3 runs in a little over an inning. He threw 2 wild pitches and allowed 3 walks. The strikeout potential with Flaherty is what's enticing, but in 2020, he had over a 3.5 walk rate. So he's walking 3.5 batters per 9 innings for the 3rd time in 4 years. And now you get this start to a season here. It looks like control issues, which is something that worries me. Flaherty's on my do not draft list this year because of this. And you know, this start is kind of reinforcing the worry. And so if this continues to happen in spring training, then it just reinforces that I'm staying away. On a positive note, you have Trey Mancini and Mitch Haniger back, who have both been away due to injury, and Trey Mancini, had cancer, both had good outings this week, and I'm keeping an eye on both of them and seeing how they bounce back. They could both be very valuable this year. A few players returning from injury who I'm watching in particular in spring training are pitchers Eduardo Rodriguez, Corey Kluber, Steven Strasburg, and Jameson Taillon to see, you know, how they're doing in their return. There's a good chance they're going to be on innings limits, so kind of keep an eye on that as well. Some other things I'm looking for in spring training are position battles, but in particular, I'm looking at reliever and closer position battles. It's a very tricky position to draft because most closers are not sure things, right? So a closer can be replaced by another relief pitcher at any point when their performance dips. And so there's a few I'm looking for in particular. In Arizona, I'm watching the battle between Joaquin Soria and Stefan Crichton, though I think Soria gets the edge there, at least to start the season. The Phillies have Archie Bradley and Hector Neris. I think Bradley gets the nod, at least to start the season. The Padres' closer situation seems kind of up in the air as well. They have a lot of options there. Mark Melanson, Drew Pomeranz, Emilio Pagan. They could all get saves. And so chances are that's a bullpen I'll be avoiding in fantasy. And then finally, I really want to see how a few players in particular do this spring that I'm on the fence about drafting in my leagues. So I want to see Jose Altuve. How does he kind of bounce back after a really rough year? Teoscar Hernandez, you know, does he come back from injury well? Does he perform like he did last season in 2020, where he just went nuts, or, you know, was that small sample size? I'm also paying really close attention to how the Blue Jays lineup is constructed. I want to watch Joey Votto to see if, you know, if this is a true bounce back. JD Martinez, I want to see how he does. Dylan Moore, young guys like him, Franchy Cordero in Boston. I want to see how Dalton Varsho is used in Arizona. And then pitchers like Kenta Maeda and Chris Paddock, I want to kind of keep an eye on just because I'm not quite sure if those are guys I want to pick up or not. So I recommend having a few on the fence type of guys that you're going to really focus on, keep track of their stats, see how they do. Now, obviously, you'll have some guys who you're just going to straight up avoid who are going to be targets or who are going to be targets for you no matter what. But spring training stats can be a way to kind of figure out the, you know, those players that you just aren't quite sure about. There's a lot of people drafting or mock drafting now, so I want to cover a few players at each position that I'm avoiding relative to the average draft pick. So this doesn't mean I'm like totally avoiding them. If they fall to me in a slot where or in a part of the draft where I'm comfortable drafting them, where I think it matches their value, I'll pick them up. But you know, these are going to be players where that's likely not going to happen. So this is my do not draft list. Catcher Gary Sanchez makes my do not draft list for catchers. For where he's going in drafts, I'll pass. It's hard to pass on 20 plus and even potentially 30 plus home runs from a catcher, but his bat to ball skills really, really worry me. He whiffed at a 36% rate in 2020 and has batted under 200 in two of the last 3 years. The power is going to be what a lot of people are drafting him for. I'm just worried that he gets benched or he gets overtaken by his backup in New York. I'll wait until the later rounds for catchers like Jorge Alfaro in Miami, Yan Gomes in Washington. I'd much rather have them late in drafts than choose Gary Sanchez as like a top five catcher. I'm avoiding first baseman Vlad Guerrero Jr. from Toronto this season in drafts, and people are going to draft him based on his potential, but that's not good enough for me here, especially because he's going to go as probably one of the top 8, top 10, maybe top 5 first baseman. It is not a deep position this year, so it's likely he's going to go early. But in a power hitter, you know, a power hitter especially that you expect is going to hit 30 home runs, you'd like to see a high ISO score, at least 200, but Vlad Jr. sat around 170 to 180 as his ISO score the last 2 years. And so ISO measures extra bases that a player reaches. And obviously that counts in home runs as well. So that's not great. I also don't like that he has a disappointing hard contact rate, a ground ball rate that's around 50% and an average launch angle of 6 degrees. I do not like that. So he's got to fix his swing this year. It's really limiting him and his power potential. I'm worried that he doesn't fix it. I would rather take a shot on Josh Bell, who is I kind of value as in that same tier as Vlad Guerrero. I think for what you're going to get comparatively, I think Josh Bell gives you much more value than Vlad Jr. Or I'm just going to wait for a guy like Jared Walsh, who has some upside and the positive metrics to back it up. One second baseman I'm avoiding is Gavin Lux of the Dodgers, and he's not going to be my only Dodgers player on this list. This is another player with a lot of hype, but it's someone I don't think is going to measure up to it. He'll probably make a lot of people's sleeper list, but I'm staying away. His strikeout rate in his limited MLB time is near 30%. He looks like a major pull hitter as a lefty, so he's a candidate for hitting into a lot of shifts. And that combined with a high ground ball rate around 40% and 50% medium contact rate last season make me not like his prospects for this season. If you want like a late second baseman who can add some value, go with Tommy La Stella instead or Jonathan Scope. White Sox third baseman Yoan Moncada is a player I'm avoiding. 2019 Yoan Moncada looks great, but he had one of the highest BABIPs in baseball that year. And it's the only season He has had over a 235 batting average. If you draft him this season expecting a 240 to 250 ERA, then you won't be disappointed. But, you know, he's going to go too high in drafts for me. I think he's far from the 2019 player that we saw. A weak hard contact rate and a low overall contact percentage are keeping me from drafting him. If you want a potentially better third baseman at a better value, I would go with Brian Anderson or Tommy Edman. Shortstop looks super deep this year, probably one of the deepest positions in fantasy baseball. So this isn't going to be as hot of a take as some of the other players, but Nick Ahmed is somebody that I'm fading. He's improved, but he's still far from being a solid option. You know, this is a player that you might draft to fill in your middle infield slot or throw on your bench for some depth. But I'm just straight staying away from him. Very, very low hard contact rate, very, very high ground ball rate. Those are things I don't like. It's going to limit his batting average. It's going to limit his ability to produce runs. If you need somebody for that middle infield slot, go with Freddie Galvis instead. Perhaps my hottest take here, do not draft White Sox outfielder Eloy Jimenez. The upside is real, but so is the 25% strikeout rate, 50% ground ball rate, and 40% chase rate. He is not a disciplined hitter, and that, you know, may come with age and experience, but those are metrics that kind of stick out to me as things I really don't like. I also worry that the home run rate that he's producing is not sustainable. His home run to fly ball rate over the last two seasons has averaged 28%. Most of the top power hitters average closer to like 20%. Bryce Harper and Mike Trout are both around 20-21%. So I think you're looking at closer to like a 25-30 home run hitter than the 35 home run hitter that you'll see in a lot of projections. And I think the strikeout rate is going to limit his ability to get on base at a good enough rate to get, you know, steals. I like Trent Grisham, Mike Yastrzemski, Max Kepler, Kyle Schwarber. I would rather draft all of those players at their value than Eloy Jimenez at his. Aside from Trevor Bauer, I'm also avoiding Walker Buehler of the Dodgers at starting pitcher. I'm not avoiding him because I don't like him. I'm avoiding him because he's going too high in drafts for me. I think his 2020 is going to bump up his draft stock, but I don't think it should. The 344 isn't great, but it should have been worse. He was super lucky. 198 BABIP. That is super lucky for a pitcher. Some other things that I didn't like last season are a continuing trend of a dip in his ground ball rate, a dip in his left on base rate, and a spike in home runs and walks. Those numbers suggest his ERA should have been higher, as evidenced by all of the advanced ERA metrics. Give me Brandon Woodruff, Carlos Carrasco, or Sonny Gray instead. And finally, do not draft Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen. There are a few things here that signal, one, he's starting to go downhill, and two, the team wants to see other pitchers closing. First, he's in the last year of his deal, and in case you haven't noticed, the Dodgers have loaded up on talented relief pitching. I expect Jansen to start the year as the closer, but they'll give opportunities to Trinan, Knebel, and likely future closer Brusdar Graterol. On top of that, the past 3 years have seen Jansen's walk rate gradually increase and his ground ball rate gradually decrease. And his sub-3 ERA days seem like a thing of the past. Not to mention his velocity is dropping to dangerous levels. I would go a different direction at closer. I might be in the minority, but I think Brad Hand is going to end up being a top-5 closer by the end of the season. I like Alex Colomé more than Jansen. I'd also rather have Trevor Rosenthal and Craig Kimbrell at their value rather than where Jansen is going to get drafted, just based on his name value. I'm going to take a quick break, and afterwards, I'm going to continue reviewing some important sabermetric stats that you can use to help identify players you want to draft and you don't want to draft, and will help you make some moves during the season. We'll get into that right after a word from my sponsor. So this will be quick. These are very easy metrics to understand, but they're super, super important. So today I'm going to go over the next piece of the puzzle. I'm going to do a review of ground ball to fly ball rate and home run to fly ball rate. So the definitions here are really, really simple. Ground ball to fly ball rate is how many ground balls a player hits for every fly ball. If a player has a higher ground ball rate than fly ball rate, his number is going to be inflated over one. What you're looking for here is hopefully a one-to-one rate or lower. That means you're going to be under one ground ball for every fly ball. And that's a good thing because fly balls are usually more productive than ground balls. Fly balls can turn into home runs, even if they result in an out. Fly balls can be sacrifice runs, so they can be more productive than a ground ball out. So again, you want fewer ground balls to fly balls. The other ratio to look at here is home run to fly ball rate. So this is also pretty easy to understand. It's the percentage of a batter's fly balls that go for home runs. So this is a stat that you need to look at separately per hitter. Different types of hitters are going to have varying home run to fly ball rates. So what I'm looking for is the home run to fly ball rate astronomically high or astronomically low? So what that means is, if let's say the home run to fly ball rate is inflated, if it's super, super high, higher than normal for that player, likely you're going to see regression coming for home runs, for the home runs that player is producing. So those home runs are going to start kind of evening out and turning more into fly balls. If the home run to fly ball rate is lower than a player's average, it likely means he's slumping, he's underperforming, and there's a good chance he's going to have a turnaround. So, these are great stats, great evaluative sabermetrics. It's important to understand how to read these two stats, ground ball to fly ball, home run to fly ball rates, because they give you a better idea of what a hitter is doing. And at least the ground ball to fly ball number is a pretty solid way to tell if a batter is hitting the right types of balls to be productive. If you have that one or lower ground ball rate, you likely have found a hitter doing the right things. Of course, you want to look at, all the other metrics, the line drive, ground ball, fly ball percentages, the hard contact rate, BABIP, all that stuff, right? And it's important to understand the home run to fly ball rate, because it's going to tell you if a player is maybe on a hot streak, or maybe they're benefiting from a certain park or playing against a certain team or pitcher, resulting in an inflated home run total or too low. So look at that stat in relation to a player's career numbers, and it's going to be very telling. You'll be able to say that, relatively certain that a player is going to come back to earth or is in a slump or is doing exactly what they should be doing. You can find these stats very easily on fangraphs.com. You can type a player's name in the search area at the top and scroll down to the batted ball numbers, or you can check the leaderboard for the season and get in-season data. These are pretty simple metrics and there's not a ton to them, but they can be very evaluative and are really, really useful during the season when you're trying to figure out, do I drop this player? Do I pick up this guy? I got this trade offer. Let me see what I'm getting and what I'm trading away. Is this the right deal? Am I getting a guy who is very outperforming his metrics, or am I getting a guy who's doing exactly what he should be doing? So next week, we'll do a quick review of some plate discipline metrics to kind of continue to deepen our understanding of these sabermetric stats and how you can use them for evaluation. Remember, these are stats that you can look into as you scout for the coming season, and you can use these stats to make decisions during the season, right? So super important. Make sure you've subscribed here so you're notified when each new episode publishes. And just to kind of wrap up here, I'm currently writing baseball, fantasy baseball, and baseball betting articles for thegameday.com. So check out my articles there. Again, thegameday.com. I have a few articles published, a lot more on the way. My last article was covering a few players who are kind of under the radar. I also wrote a few articles and a few more that are going to get published in case you want to gamble. Who's most likely to steal the most bases, hit the most RBI, get the most pitching wins, and have the best ERA. So look for those articles at thegameday.com. And tomorrow I should have a column out on creativesports2.com. And that should be a weekly post on Thursdays. Finally, please give the show a 5-star rating. Each high rating helps move my podcast up the list on all the podcast platforms when people search for fantasy baseball. So it's something that really helps me out and is greatly appreciated. Follow me on Instagram at Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Follow me on Twitter at Fastball Pod. And feel free to email the show. I will respond very promptly. If you have any comments, any questions, you need help with making some decisions, you have any ideas, I will reply. Thanks for listening.